This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. Big man, to get on. I got to say it fast because we got a lot of show to get to. Mark Garagus is in studio.
In studio. Couldn't be happier. I think I'm going to try and break a record. When was the last time I was in studio, like 3 weeks in a row? That's going to be my goal.
We love it when you're in studio, Mark.
I love being here. There's so much. Did you see where our friend Michael Avenatti is in today's Wall Street Journal? What page is that on, Gary?
I did not see that.
And look who he's with.
He's with
a picture
buddy.
With Macias.
Yes.
Macias.
What is...
Big boy. What are they? Gary, I didn't read the article yet, but Sean looks good in that picture. Sean's got much better hair for a picture than Avenatti does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I like Sean's hair. Sean is a handsome guy. If he knocked off an ounce or two.
Yeah.
Right? I see him at, for La Cañada, you know where the place to find people is? The Equinox in Pasadena. Saw Susan Pinsky there yesterday working out.
The gym.
The gym. Mm. Yeah, Equinox there. And I don't know why. I see the most random people there. I see Macias riding the bike. I see Susan after having doing Pilates or something.
I'm so jealous when I talk to anyone, including my wife, who says, like, I go, what did you do today?
She'll right.
go, I went to the gym.
Uh-huh.
Then I ate lunch. And then, I had my phone on me.
Uh-huh.
And the lunch turned into like a four-hour lunch.
Right.
And
right.
I go, how did that work?
How does that happen, right?
I eat while I'm running from this place to the next. But
do you
God
feel,
bless them.
I feel like if I can, I only go to Pasadena Equinox on weekends because you can't get away during the week. But do you ever feel like if you get, do you go to the gym?
Yeah, I go to the one. But it has to be the one right by my house.
Right. But don't you almost feel like it's a vacation?
You know what? I'm flying out on Monday to do Alec Baldwin's match game.
Where are you going to be? Did you negotiate where in the squares you are?
In New York. Alec, here's my understanding.
Okay.
The last time I did it, he asked me personally to come do it. And the reason he asked me personally to come do it is because I feel like it makes his job easier. So it's a pure money grab on his
right.
behalf, right? There's the reason Alec Baldwin is hosting a network game show
right.
that Gene Rayburn used to host is for money. And for money only.
Right.
And I don't think he makes any bones about it. If all things were equal, he'd be hosting a show on NPR and teaching a class on civics at NYU.
At NYU, exactly.
That's what we do. But right. he needs money.
Right.
So he gets,
and there's nothing wrong with money.
There's nothing wrong with money. And he gets paid a kajillion dollars to do that show.
Right.
How do you get Alec Baldwin interested in hosting
a game show?
Pay him a kajillion dollars.
Exactly. Right?
So what he does, or at least the last time I did it, now I'd be interested. I sat upper deck and closest to him.
Okay.
Which basically made me the most accessible to him because he figured out that while he's getting paid kajillions of dollars and I'm getting croutons, it makes it easier for him.
Well, yeah,
to just
right.
slide over and start
right.
talking to me,
and he does it, and you can, and it looks extemporaneous, and it's funny and engaging.
And the first thing you learn, as I've told people before, about all of these people, the Baldwins and beyond, which would be a good reality show.
I like that. The Baldwins and beyond. They could probably, Andy Cohen and...
They want to surround themselves with people that make their life easier. Just
right.
like you do at work.
Right.
I do. And just like he does on stage at Match Game. He realizes if he has the guys from the guys who fight each other from Long Island Choppers on, that he's not going to mine a lot of humor from them,
right?
And he's going to have to pedal the bike that much harder,
right? Exactly, like, to get it going. You know, that's an interesting concept. You're talking about people make it easier. I'm losing today is her last day, Gabby, who I hired a couple of years ago and who'd grown into kind of an indispensable person. And I was angry at first. My first reaction when she was giving notice was anger. But then, boy, does she know me well. She says that her four-year-old looked up at her, and her four-year-old said, "You're always on the phone. You're always on your computer. I go to school next year. I want my mommy."
And, wow.
Yeah. So then what are you going to say? So I gave her a hug and a kiss and thanked her. And even as angry as I was, it kind of dissipated all the anger. It was like single mother, four-year-old kid who I adore. Her son is a doll. But, you know, the people like that, you know, are essential. You can never get anywhere. It's a team effort.
I'll be surprised. I have no idea where I'm seated, but I would just guess that I'll be in the same seat,
the same
which
spot.
Makes me more accessible.
Will
to
you? Will you be wearing your Tommy John's?
Absolutely. Whenever I travel.
And you know, coming up, I think is our day. Finally, we get a day. Father's Day. Give Dad the gift of evolved underwear. By the way, when you're looking, when you say that. Don't people often say to you, because they say it to me, we're both blessed, we've done well. They say, what do I get you? You know, it's not beyond the pale to get you or me Tommy John. I'll take a Tommy John t-shirt any day, and I'll be happy about it. They limited edition Father's Day gift sets, hint, hint, Jake. Innovative designs like the time-saving horizontal quick draw fly, stay put waistband, no wedgie guarantee. Proprietary, forward-thinking fabrics. They are. They're so soft. They're light. You swear that you're going commando. You don't even think about it. Socks stay up all day. Lightweight undershirts that never come untucked. I couldn't be a bigger fan of the second skin t-shirts. They never shrink. All backed by Adam.
The best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee.
Give Dad evolved underwear from Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Right, Gary?
That's right. Shop limited edition Father's Day gift sets at TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam.
So just to finish the thought,
finish
so
it
people
off.
Don't
so
think I'm insane.
Right.
ABC flies you like American X or whatever, the one where you go to LAX and you get to go in through the Forum Club at the bottom, and then you get your pod in the plane. And I used to dread flying coast to coast, and now it's a respite. I get my own pod. It's 6 hours. I'm going to have a drink. No one can bother me.
Exactly. It's a vacation.
That's the vacation I was finally alluding to with the Equinox. All right. So much going on.
I know. So we'll go back to Avenetti. You were early money on this. You were saying when the worm turned, or we used some expression at some point. And I had frankly, unsolicited advice. I said at a certain point, this is a difficult thing to be a high-profile lawyer, especially when you wade into the political arena, because that's a blood sport. And you have to be very careful. And boy, are the knives out, and is he taking a beating? You know, what was the old Timex commercial?
Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Cameron Swayze. I think his name was.
And right now the Timex of the week is Michael. Michael is...
Well, I haven't seen him pop up on any of the CNN shows. First off, he was on every show for 21 days. He was on every show all the time. I haven't seen him pop up.
Well, this week...
I've heard that he has a couple skeletons.
Yeah, and this week, Kimba Wood, who's a very well, high-regarded Southern District federal court judge, basically told him, you can do the publicity tour, but not on my case or not in my my courtroom. And he opted to withdraw, not defend basically, I don't know if defend is the right, because you're basically trying to insert yourself into the case. And he was trying to get what's called pro hoc vice, which is the Latin for you want to appear this time. That's probably not the right Latin translation, but when you go pro hoc, it means you're not admitted in that jurisdiction, and you're letting the court know that you want to be involved that the client has selected you amongst all the lawyers in the world, and let me get admitted. And they objected. Cohen's people objected to his pro hoc admission, and the judge basically gave him a choice, said you either get admitted and shut down the publicity tour, or you're not going to get admitted. He opted to not get admitted. What does that tell you?
He likes the publicity.
Yeah.
And maybe the case isn't what he thinks it is. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the case is. She did the NDNA, non-disclosure agreement.
NDA.
Yeah, NDA.
Right.
And then
MDMA is a drug that I think they use at raves.
Yeah. And she was
Drew could give us the pharmacological.
She was paid, and then I'm not sure where the
damages
are. She's
paid $130,000. Then she wanted to be released from her NDA where she couldn't disclose.
Right.
Then she goes on to 60 Minutes, and I've had this thing before. I just don't get it. I don't know what the end game is. Although the end game for a lawyer, Larry King once told me, the CNN host, he used to say, yeah, I guess I made you, you know, publicity is the lifeblood of it's the oxygen a lawyer breathes. And there's a degree about that or something that makes sense about that. But at a certain point, your Judge Tavrizian used to tell me, as one of my mentors, you can spend 30 years making your reputation and lose it in 30 seconds. And that's, for a lawyer, that's important to remember.
Well, I don't know what her damages are, other than she made a bad deal, because anyone who makes a bad deal with someone, anytime someone makes a deal before someone becomes president, has made a bad deal.
Right.
Because there's so much more leverage and thus so much more money after they become president. But that doesn't mean you have to go back and repair the deal. It just means when you made the deal, he was a civilian, and now he's not.
Yeah, I'm not aware. Maybe one of the listeners is. I'm not aware of a mulligan in the law where you just get to say, yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, it was knowing, it was intelligent. I had a lawyer I was consulting, but now I want to do it over because circumstances have changed.
But her damages, we haven't quite figured out what those damages are, have
no,
we?
No, the only damages from a legal analysis standpoint that I can think of is, frankly, Trump and Cohen for her violating the NDA and having paid $130,000 because they didn't get the benefit of their bargain. Michael's argument has been, and there's, I think it's, he's got some play there, that the David Dennison, who was the AKA, did not sign, and that was the AKA for Trump. But as I've said from day one, if he's denying that it happened, Trump, why are you getting in the middle of this? And all that did was put Cohen into the crosshairs, and ultimately it'll be interesting to see when he gets indicted, because I think it's 11:59 before he gets before a midnight indictment.
Cohen.
Yeah, Cohen. It'll be interesting to see what ginned up the interest of the Southern District. I know that it's been reported that Mueller referred it over because this was something he came across. I don't know that absent them getting involved in raising the profile of this litigation that Michael Cohen would be in the crosshairs that he's in right now. It often, somebody, clients, this reminds me so often of clients where they say, I want to do this. I want to do that. And I say, no, you can't do that. And, you know, I want to do this. I want to fight that. Part of some of the best work a lawyer can do is to just talk somebody out of doing something stupid.
Well, what about all the footage of Comey and other folks in his department who have just gone out and made all the rounds and answered a lot of questions pretty inconsistently. Don't you think a lot of that might come back to them if someone ever really tries to get to the bottom of a lot of what the FBI and the CIA and some of these other agencies, FBI especially, were up to? Like, I know they have it's a deal with the devil, which is I have a book to sell.
Right.
I have to make the rounds.
And you have to have a hook. I mean, that's the other thing.
Right.
Having done the book tour as you have, there's got to be something that gets them interested, that breaks news, that does something.
Right. But now there's a lot of footage of them being sort of inconsistent. I mean, you have what's his name on The View going, you know, saying like, well, we inserted a spy. I don't even like to call it a spy. Let's just scratch that. Well, we can't scratch it. You just said spy. So there's tons of that now. I don't think it's going to help anyone's case.
And I think we talked about this last week. I'm going to reiterate it again because I take such delight in it. There is no backstop for law enforcement in reality like there was before. I mean, generally, law enforcement post-Nixon has been embraced by the Republican or the right and the law and order and blah, blah, blah. Now you have law enforcement being cannibalized and being exposed for what those of us who practice criminal defense and have for many years. And by the time you listen to this, wish me happy anniversary. My anniversary is tomorrow of 35 years practicing law.
Wow.
And I've watched the complete pendulum swing now of the law enforcement and them getting pickled on exactly the same terms in the same way that they used to bedevil criminal defense lawyers and the accused. So there is a certain amount of delight that I take in watching this.
So I have questions. I'll tease some questions. I'll tease a batch. I'll give you time to molar them over.
Ooh, I like
which
that.
Is what's going on with that? Also, there's the Trump side of the investigation, and now there's sort of the Hillary Obama side of the investigation, which is not in full bloom, but every day that passes, there seems to be a little more of a, wait a minute, what did Obama, what was his, wait, he didn't know what was going on, or what did he know, or we'd like to know what he knew, and Hillary Clinton and FBI and all the aforementioned characters. So there's this weird other thing starting to, I don't know,
percolate.
It's not all Trump and Russia. So I'd be curious, Trump and Russia on one side. There's going to be a lot for you to think about, I'm teasing.
This is quite a tease. This is a wind-up.
The other is, does Obama, who's the ultimate Teflon Don, does he start to now? See, now he's a perfect example. I tease stuff and then I answer my own question. He's a perfect example of a guy who just goes out and golfs when all this stuff goes down, or goes and makes a 5-picture deal with Netflix or whatever. If he started grabbing the microphone and tweeting and saying, I never had any whatever, I'm sure 80% of that would come back to haunt him at some point. I feel like smartest guy in the world. Don't even enter this. There's a big cockfight going on.
Right. And
you think
it.
You have the winning hand. I don't care. Go home.
Right.
He's so smart that way. He's literally not doing anything is the greatest act he could ever do. Because if he started inserting himself into this, because they're starting with some whispers and some allegations and some, wait a minute, he was the president. How come he didn't know what his own Department of Justice was up to or whatever? If he jumped in on this, he would then pull himself right into the fold and immediately be cannon fodder. And or down the road, I believe, if anything did happen, we'd go, oh, we looked at a tweet of yours from May 2018. It says this, but you just said under oath that, you know, smart.
Well, yeah, it's
completely
it's what,
stay. Don't even
I'm not,
chime in.
I'm going to wait until you
wait.
Do,
and then I got
wait.
One more thing.
Okay. Wow. That
pardons.
Wow. Yeah,
I want to know what you feel about some of these pardons.
I do. I'll talk to you about it.
And I can't get an answer, or at least a good answer to this, which is famed black heavyweight Jack Johnson, who got caught up in the Mann Act for basically transporting a white lady across state lines, got pardoned by Trump a few days back, had come before Obama more than once, evidently, and he passed. For the life of me, I can't figure out why Obama would pass on legendary black pioneer boxer Jack Johnson, and a crime that isn't even a crime. I'll let you.
You're going to let me munch on that, or should
I will, as I used to say when I used to be in the carpet cleaning business, I'll let that emulsify.
I love the fact that I used to install carpet and you used to clean it after I installed
I'll
it.
Let that emulsify in you. And speaking of
emulsification are we going to talk about Melania and her operation?
Oh, we'll talk about everything. First, okay. I'll tell you about TheraWorks Relief. If you or one of the millions who suffer from muscle cramps in your legs, your feet, relief is finally in sight. TheraWorks, that ends with an X, by the way. Relief, topical foam, clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. Daily use with TheraWorks Relief even prevents muscle cramps before they start. That's what you want to do. You want to nip it in the bud. Dr. Drew loves this stuff, and Dr. Drew's a snob with all the salves and the ointments. You know, he's a lot of, that's never going to. Oh, it works. And don't believe me, ask Dr. Drew. He can't be bought. So you don't need a prescription, just minutes to apply, absorb quickly and easily, and most of all, it works. TheraWorks, Relief, you get it today. CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, pharmacies, or at TheraWorks, W-O-R-X, TheraWorksRelief.com. All right, so many things. Should we go reverse order with
Let's
the pardons?
Let's go with the pardons, because that's interesting to me. There is speculation that he is ramping up pardons for a variety of reasons. I'll just give some what I consider to be facts. One of the...
Is there pardoning season?
No, it's usually Christmas time.
It's weird because it just seems like, oh, he's pardoned a batch of people when any president has done it. And I was like, what month is it? Like, is it pardoning time?
Yeah, pardon time is generally Christmas time. I mean, both state and federal. The pardons are interesting for a number of reasons. The pardon of Scooter Libby, which was not recently, but it was one of the ones he did before, that was somebody who was, you know, a White House Vice President Cheney's chief of staff. That was in connection with unmasking, supposedly unmasking and then lying about it. Martha Stewart is now in the pardon season. The interesting one is the governor of Illinois, Rod
Blagojevich,
right. Which I can never remember, who I didn't realize until last night was a contestant on The Apprentice. Did you remember that?
I sort of recall that, and it was right before it all went down, and I do also sort of he's a Democrat
He's a Democrat, but he was prosecuted by Patrick Fitzgerald, who was the special counsel or the U.S. attorney whose boss at the time or has had a close friendship with Comey. And Fitzgerald, if I'm not mistaken, was also the prosecutor on Scooter Libby. So they're going around and they're kind of specifically showing, oh, you think you're going to do this? Boom, I'll get that. Oh, Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh,
who was also prosecuted by the Southern District.
Dinesh, and that was
Preet.
It's funny because Dinesh really brings the ire out in folks on the left. He really gets under their skin. Now,
in a way that's unbelievable. You know, his lawyer, interest of full disclosure, was my buddy Ben Broffman, who Tenney works for.
Dinesh is a very sort of mild-mannered guy who just gets under their skin. They can't stand him. Now, I find him to be sort of meek and well-mannered and so on and so forth. Now, I'm sure many of Hitler's lieutenants were meek guys who did a lot of horrible things. But Dinesh, I've watched his films. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He gets up there and he sticks it to Hillary Clinton, but he doesn't come across as a bad character. He comes across as a guy who does not like Hillary Clinton. He does not like the Democratic Party. And he says a lot of things that you just wouldn't say about the Democratic Party in polite company. And he says them. I don't believe that makes him evil, though, but they hate him now.
Oh, he is on the enemies list.
It's so funny because you could never, if you cast him in a movie, you could never use him in it because he comes across as just so meek and soft and quiet.
Yeah,
and
he's a hard guy. He's a hard guy to his face to characterize in the way that he's been kind of caricatured.
Yeah, so he basically just takes it to Hillary and takes it to the Democrats, and they've declared war on him. And I get it. It's a fatwa. It's a two-way fatwa. What I don't get is that his campaign contribution violations seem fairly benign. Like, the first off, the amount is $20,000. That alone
is like,
I don't know,
chump change.
30. I've heard 20. I can't get one of my Datsuns painted for 30 grand anymore.
See you, right?
I heard 20 the entire time, Gary, so you can check that. Gary, give me the three. But either way, it's 20 grand or it's 30 grand. It's the dollar amount doesn't feel like much. What was done was he took one out, one guy's name and one guy's out, another name. But it also feels like in the pantheon of what's going on in the swamp and in general and criminal activity and behavior, this seems like it should be a fine and a slap on a wrist and a get on a no-fly zone for a year or something, a probation or something.
My article was wrong. I went and checked. It's a $30,000 fine and a $20,000 illegal contribution.
Because it was really chump.
Oh, wait a minute. I know. You're right.
That's why
20 grand. Okay, so fine him and then let him go home, but they're going to incarcerate him. And that feels to me like he crossed up somebody politically and that person was going to get their pound of flesh now. That was going to be payback time.
That was a Preet Bharara special. That was the Southern District at their best. That's what they do.
I don't know. It just feels this way. But are we here? You tell me, because you're the most down the middle guy I know. He's the only guy I think who's ever really done time for this thing. It feels to me.
Well, there was.
Or this amount of doing this.
I've got a real strong problem with campaign contribution, so-called campaign money laundering. I've defended before anybody probably remembers. You remember
what did he do, Gary? You can figure it out, but continue.
Yeah, there was a guy back in the 90s. In fact, he was kind of a colorful L.A. city council member named Art Snyder. Do you remember Art Snyder? Art was a client of mine, and Art was filed on and then indicted, as I remember, for campaign money laundering back in the 90s. Art represented the 14th Council District in East L.A., and he was a red-haired Irishman. And I'll never forget, there was a candidate who was running against Art, and they were talking about, they were doing the debate. Mm-hmm. And Art was this kind of rascal, well-loved, hail fellow, well-met type. And the candidate who was running against him was a young Hispanic, I don't remember who it was, who was giving Art a hard time about being a carpetbagger Irish guy in the 14th councilmanic district. What are you doing here? We're now all Latino. Mm-hmm. We're Hispanic, and we need a Hispanic voice. And Art listened to this, and he took it all in, and then he turned to the guy and he said, would you like me to now translate that into Spanish since I speak it and you don't? And boom, that was the end of that. Art won. The next year, the powers that be indicted him for campaign money laundering or some bullshit, and it was in connection with some container company or something. And we ended up getting it reduced to a misdemeanor and then thrown out. And when I saw it, I kept saying to myself, this is in the 90s, way before Citizens United, way before kind of the controversy. Our argument was, and we prevailed at the Court of Appeal and got it dismissed, and then the California Supreme Court reinstated the misdemeanor. My argument was, this makes no sense. You're giving the money to one person to then give it to the candidate. So say if Art had done it, say Art gave, or I'll give you an example. I give you $500 and I tell you, here you go, Adam, now go come to my house and give $500 to this candidate. And they said, well, that's campaign money laundering. And I said, well, okay, what about when I give $500 to the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party gives it to somebody else, which is to this day legal, always has been. I said, what's the difference? Just because I gave it to a friend of mine and I didn't give it to the party and the party then gives it to the candidate and I'm directing it, you can still do it. You can give the Republican National Committee money that's well in excess of what the campaign limits are, and they can, and you can say, I want that to go to Trump, or I want you to support Trump, or I want you to give it to a PAC that supports Trump. Perfectly legal, not campaign money laundering. I never understood it. It was, to me, it was a manufactured crime. I mean, I could talk about the Latin malum in se, you know, whether it was in it was inherently a bad act or not a bad act, but it's just a bullshit offense. And that was what he was convicted of, a complete bullshit. Gary will tell you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, he was accused of doling out 20 grand to various friends to give to this candidate who is a longtime friend of his since college.
Yeah. So do we... The fact that he was indicted and, you know, went to prison, sort of, or whatever. He
8
was,
months of community confinement followed by one day of probation every week for 5 years.
Can we – now, if he – I so here's a question for you, Mark Gargas. If he was a huge champion for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the Democratic Party, would he get the exact same sentence?
Well, actually – the same time I was doing Art's case, a friend of mine was defending an Asian female, and I want to say her last name was H-S-I-E-H, and I can't pronounce it, who was being federally prosecuted, as I remember, for the same kind of thing. And I just couldn't understand this. And they're federally prosecuting her, and I think it was during the Clinton era, for giving to the Clintons, which I just made no sense to me. But I'm going to pause for 1 second. You know why?
Why?
I am about to read an ad for what I want to give them a shout out. Omaha Steaks.
Yes.
Besides the fact that I actually, when I'm in Rhode Island, live over an Omaha Steaks place, they may have the best social media game of any company that I can think of. Whoever runs their social media is a genius. I want to meet the person.
Ate their burgers last night. Had Natalia and Sonny both had their friends over. Olga whipped up about 10 of those bad boys.
They are so good. And it says kick off the grilling season by, once you give them your Tommy Johns, give them an Omaha Steaks Father's Day package to your dad, unless your dad is my dad. Limited time offer for Father's Day. Guess how much? It's how old I feel some days. 78% off.
Wow.
Go to omahasteaks.com. Type doubt in the search bar. Seriously, this is, could you think of a better Father's Day gift?
No.
The package includes 2 fillets, 2 tops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all beef burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs. By the way, the meatballs are the sleeper in here.
Yes.
Plus 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and 4 bonus burgers free. Only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, omahasteaks.com, and type doubt in the search bar.
So if Dinesh D'Souza was a big Hillary Clinton fan, would he have gotten what he got?
No. It wouldn't have been prosecuted. I mean, look, these campaign. I remember when Pierce O'Donnell had his problems here, and I just it was incomprehensible to me that he was being prosecuted for this stuff.
Is there ever so I feel like if I was in the camp that was going to prosecute Dinesh D'Souza, I would say I hate that little Indian troublemaker as much as the rest of you. But if we do this, it's going to appear like what it is, which is a sort of an abuse of power. We disagree with this guy. We don't like him. And so he's getting it.
For the same reason that I find it offensive when Trump says, I want my Department of Justice to investigate this, okay? It's the same reason that I found it offensive when Dinesh was prosecuted, because it has all the appearances of using the criminal justice system to punish your political enemies. And if you start going down that road, you're not that much different than a banana republic or, you know, this guy in the Philippines who's crazed or, you know, my favorite autocrat dictator to hate Erdogan in Turkey, because that's what they do. You know, the tyrants use the criminal justice system to imprison their political opponents. I mean, that's the history of man.
I'll tell you the part of it that feels insidious to me, and it's always a two-way street, but the part of it that is, in my life, I am more offended not at the people who engage in it, but the people who stand around and sort of encourage it.
Yeah, the cheerleaders.
The biggest problem is turning on The View the next morning and have them all go, well, that guy got what it was coming to him. The same people that would be outraged over the guy from the Black Panthers, you know, being incarcerated for whatever, the same people that are outraged over everyone being incarcerated all the time would stand up and cheer for that guy because they disagree with him politically, not even really stepping back and thinking for a moment. You are applauding an abuse of a system because you disagree with what team that guy cheers for, which is completely losing the point. And as a matter of fact, the only one who's going to police this is you or Anderson Cooper or anyone on MSNBC. And if you guys, if Rachel Maddow is going to stand up and applaud when this happens, now we've lost it because they're the garters. They watch the gate.
That's exactly right. That's why I say there is a certain amount of, we're going to come back to this theme because I'm fixated on it. There's a certain amount of payback is a bitch when you drill down into this. I mean, everybody should be offended if they believe that the criminal justice system has been hijacked or kidnapped for political purposes. Because if that's the case, then that's a nightmare. That is not a country that anybody is ever going to want to live in.
Jack Johnson.
Okay, wait. Let's go back to the pardons for a sec. So what I was, the point
saying.
I was going.
Pardoning of the Jack
pardon,
Johnsons.
I think, and you know, this is very sophisticated. For people who say that he's demented or he's this or he's that or he's addled and it's the beginnings of the being addled, what he's doing right now is kind of a three-dimensional chess game with the special counsel, he being Trump. Because what he's doing right now is he's sending a message and people are saying, well, why is this a flurry? The flurry of pardons right now is clearly, to my mind, to Paul Manafort. And Paul Manafort is scheduled for trial. He's the ex-campaign manager.
So he is starting. So if you are radio silent and then all of a sudden you pop up and you say, I'm going to pardon this guy. Everyone goes, what the fuck is going on? If you're pardoning this guy and that guy, if you're Oprah giving away Pontiacs up on stage and you're just going, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. And if somewhere Manafort is 15th down the line and you get pardoned and you get pardoned, then it'll get lost in a hail of pardons.
Well, I think there's that. There's also the subliminal message. Don't, you know, a lot of times the old expression is the clients will never plead till they see the whites of the jurors' eyes. Mm-hmm. So there's always that last-ditch effort to roll somebody right prior to trial. I mean, they, you know, part of the protocol, if you will, of the of U.S. attorneys in the federal system is the first one to roll gets the best deal, and we've seen that already. The guys who have already pled have gotten deals that, by all accounts, are the best. So now they've seen that Manafort is standing tall; he's not rolling. And for those of you who think that that means I'm endorsing it or not, no, I kind of like clients who basically tell the government to fuck off. I admire that. I, because most people, I think 99.999% of the world will roll. They just are not going to take the shot. Manafort is saying fuck you, and I think that by Trump taking Scooter Libby, by having the governor of Illinois, who is a Democrat, you know, he kind of insulates himself from that criticism at the same time that he's telegraphing to Manafort, don't worry, even if you get convicted, I'll take care of you.
Right. So Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson is inexplicable, by the way, unless it's a complete faint.
Although
he's liked, he's been close to Don King for years. Mike Tyson, he's been close to.
Trump, yes.
Trump, yeah.
Yeah. I think people, the story we'd read in USA Today is that.
In fact, it's too bad in this pardon that Mike is convicted of a state offense because if Mike was convicted of a federal offense, Trump could pardon him. Because if there was ever somebody who deserves to be pardoned, it's Tyson.
Well, I'll tell you how I look at a lot of this stuff. Bush passed on Jack Johnson once. Obama did it twice. And I think the story we read is that Obama would just send it to his Department of Justice or something, and they'd either give thumbs up or thumbs down, and whatever they did, he just did. But it's so insane. I mean, the guy was, you know, heavyweight, first black heavyweight. Was a champ from, you know, 1905 to 1912 or something. Got convicted for a crime.
Total bullshit.
That would be like, right up there with coveting your neighbor's oxen,
right,
in terms of how much sense it would make today. And there's no reason why, and I'll include Bush in this, why anybody would just go, well, he did nothing, and he's basically a civil rights hero.
Right. And why wouldn't you? And what is, it's not like there's a active constituency against it, right? I mean, who's going to say no, don't do it?
The surviving members of the Gentleman Jim Corbett Club would take great offense.
Offense at this?
Yeah, I have no idea. Title holder from 03 to 08. There is a great
and that was back when you did bare hands, wasn't it?
Pretty close to it, and they'd go like 80 rounds.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean that was real fighting.
And the
you know what I have to fight to do?
Hmm.
Higher.
Oh.
You know what? Yeah. As soon as Gabby gave me her notice yesterday, you know what I did? I went to ZipRecruiter.
Smart.
Yep. Used to be hard. Now it's easy. All you got to do, you go to one place, you get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. They scan thousands of resumes, identify people with the right experience, invite them to apply to your job. 80% of employers who have posted a job on ZipRecruiter, get this, get a quality candidate within the first day. Can you believe that?
80% within 24 hours.
With results like that, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. Right now, our listeners, not only can you get Father's Day gifts, but if Dad is working, go get him an employee. They can try ZipRecruiter free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. That's ZipRecruiter/doubt, the smartest way to hire.
So the Trump world. All right. So predictions, sort of predictions. Is any of this going to circle back to the Obama administration?
No.
And what can Trump look forward to?
Trump is going, there's going to be a report at some point that's going to be delivered to Congress, and this is going to become the issue in the November 18 elections. That's my best handicap.
And Hillary, scot-free.
Hillary, they're not going to do anything with.
And anybody, Comey or beyond from
Comey,
the FBI.
The guy who's got some issues is, what's his last name, McCabe?
Yeah.
He's got issues.
Now he's an interesting guy because he stays out of it.
Yeah.
He does not make the rounds, yet he's the guy whose name pops up when they're looking for wrongdoers.
The problem he's got is a OIG report, Office of Independent, whatever they call themselves over there, or Inspector General, I should say. I always find that kind of humorous that some lawyers parading around as
Danny K character.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the Inspector General.
Where's your epaulettes?
Exactly. And they've got a rather damning report, although I think that his lawyer has done a marvelous job of surgically dismantling it, but it doesn't matter. You've got a report. It's got the imprimatur of the OIG. And so somebody's going to take that seriously. And some AUSA or some United States attorney might decide to do something with that. So that, if I were him, I would be selling my house and I would have the wife close down her campaign fund, which apparently Terry McAuliffe funded. And I'd use that for attorney's fees.
So that's McCabe. That's the guy who's he looks like a sort of Matt Damon character when he's not doing an action movie.
When he wasn't doing an action
movie.
When
he's playing just sort of suburban dad.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy. I feel for that guy. I don't think anybody who has made the choice to go into government service and he doesn't look or act like the kind of guy, as you just indicated, who's doing it for self-aggrandizement. And then they basically fuck him the day before he would have vested on his retirement.
Right.
You know, to me, that's kind of that's a bait and switch that rubs me the wrong way.
Whatever your
politics are, I wouldn't want to do that to anybody.
What are your hopes for California politics? Speaking of politics, we have a gubernatorial run coming up in the next couple of days. I think maybe Tuesday.
Right.
Somebody,
this is interesting. What do you think?
Well, somebody, one of our guys, Kalen, caught up to Gavin Newsom, and Gavin Newsom said that I owed the Hispanic people an apology.
You personally?
I personally did, for questioning him on some of his numbers when he was explaining to me, sitting exactly where you're sitting some years ago, that half, and I don't know if you knew this, but half the Black and Hispanic community in California, I believe, half the Hispanic community in California does not have access to checking accounts or ATMs.
Really?
And I said, what's wrong with them? And he said, nothing. And I said, well, because I checked into it, you can get a checking account for $25.
This is fascinating that you mentioned this right now. I was with Jake this morning. My son Jake works in a restaurant and is a budding chef. And Jake was telling me the story, and he's in New York, he's in the city, telling me the story that virtually everybody who works with him in the restaurant does not have a checking account and goes to a check cashing place. And I, being the, you know, the wanting to fight against my innate racist tendencies or whatever you want to call it, I said, well, what's the ethnicities, you know, and Jake says, all across the board. He says, I'm talking front of the house, back of the house. Mm-hmm. They all go to check cashing. And I said, well, how did you know this? He says, because they're always complaining about the fee that, you know, they swipe whatever it is. I don't even know. I don't remember the last time I did a check cashing case. But I think it's somewhere between 3% and 5%, or it
sounds
was at one
about
point.
Right. It's fairly low, but they make their money. I can't remember how, but sorry, continue.
So
are they trying to avoid paying taxes?
I got the distinct impression that at a certain level, there's some tax avoidance going on. That was my initial suspicion. Because why else would you do that and not go? I mean, you can go to Bank of America. You can go to First Republic. You can go to Cal Bank and Trust. You can open an account. It costs, as you said, it's...
They want $25. They want two forms of ID. But they will accept a credit card or ID from out of the country,
I believe.
Or
a bill with your name on it.
Or a bill.
A bill? Like a utility bill.
Yeah, like a utility bill.
Right. So,
but they do charge a percentage.
There's a fee unless you have – if you have a balance of $1,500 or more, or if you have direct deposit, then they do not charge a fee.
Gavin's supposition was that they were denied access because the guy who works at the B of A, in North Hollywood sees a Hispanic person walks in and says, take your pillowcase full of dollars and go down the street.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Well, I think it's an economic choice.
Well, my argument is if somebody would like a checking account, they may get one.
Right.
If they do not want one, then they've chosen not to have one. Let's not make the check cashing place, which have sprung up because people choose not to get checking accounts, or let's not make the guy who owns the bank or the guy who owns the checking account place, the check cashing place, a bad person. They're there because people have decided that they don't want to use this. Now, you saying do not have access to this is lying. And by the way, I'm going so nuts with the use of language. Hobby Lobby's denied access to birth control. Hey, Gary, how many lunches have I bought you in the last year?
None.
Okay. I was hoping you're going to say two. None. Do I deny you? Hold on. Here's a big question. Have you had lunch over the last year while working in this building?
I sure have.
Have you missed any lunches?
Sure haven't.
Have I denied you access to lunch, or absolutely have I not. Just not provided you lunch?
That'd be just not providing me. I have access to lunch in a variety of ways.
So that is not denied
access.
Just
think, in my office, we cater lunch.
I was trying to roll with the improv. It probably is two or three or four. You know,
Mike August gets the Cajun truck out here once a year. I get it.
I was rolling with the premise.
I understood.
People's birthdays, we will allow them to pick a spot. You know what the go-to spot is that people like for lunch? Langer's.
Oh, really?
The number that's the best. Yeah.
All right. We can hear a quick clip of him with denied access. I think you can probably find that.
This is the next governor of California.
Yes. He loves the Hispanic people. He's not going to do anything for them, but he loves them. You know, like that child you never knew you had, but you needed to like you, but you never were going to do shit for. That's the way he feels about the Hispanic people. Sorry.
California, roughly half of Latino families have no access to a checking account or an ATM, things we take for granted. They don't have a checking
account. What's wrong with them?
Because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't. Where do they
why
end
do
up,
Armenians have them?
But where they end up is why, check cashing places.
But I
want to
know why those groups,
advantage.
Those two groups don't have access.
Well, it just happens to be that. We can talk about
flawed?
No, they're hardly flawed, but they're strong.
Do Asians have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have problems. A lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it. But
why
I'm giving
you bring up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
Why blacks and Hispanics?
Across the board, all socioeconomic.
Okay, so everybody.
Everybody's struggling.
So Asians are suffering just as much as blacks.
The face of welfare is not an African-American family.
Oh, it's Asian, Jewish, it's all of them.
Caucasian, it's
okay,
a lot of
so
folks. Society. A lot of folks are struggling.
Okay.
That was quite the cross-examination. And
it went
you
on
threw
for an,
in
hour.
An Armo in there.
I threw an Armo, and I knew at some point you'd listen. I wanted your blessing. That went on for an hour.
And has he ever been a return guest?
No, he's never been returned. But
you're not going to get pardoned when he's governor.
He announced that the majority of California is Hispanic. So half of the majority, and I don't know if there's any other state that could claim this or any other country that could claim this, half the majority population, and there's more Hispanics than Anglos now, it does not have access to a checking account because they don't have the resources. The resources are $25. Those are the resources.
Somehow. I don't buy that at all because the most destitute week-to-week person can get somewhere. You can get somewhere. You can get – and by the way, have you been in – I mean, when was the last time – because, you know, there – I used to joke there's a courthouse on every corner. I've been all over L.A. County and have a pretty good feel, at least before they shut down a lot of these courthouses for a lot of these communities. There are banks – and there are ATMs all over the place. If you want it bad enough, you can find it.
I would even modify that and say it's not even bad enough. If you want a checking account, look, there's no bigger loser than me at 18 and a half. I figured out a way to get a checking account. What was Gavin? So Kalen went and caught up to him at a rally.
Do you have it?
And asked him if he'd come back on the show. Yeah, he filmed it with his phone.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Okay. Gavin, hey, pleasure to meet you. I just wanted to ask you, is there any time we can get you back on the Adam Carolla show?
Remember that? Man, he got cranky near the end there that last time we were on.
No, maybe sometime before the election?
I doubt it.
No.
He's got to apologize to the Latino community before I do that.
All right.
He wasn't very respectful of the Latino community.
I have to apologize for the Latino community for not asking of them what anyone would ask of any child they had. If Jake said, hey, if Tenny or Jake just said, oh, hey, Dad, could you pay my phone bill? And he went, why, you're out of money? No, I don't have a checking account. How fast would you go, get your armo ass down to the bank and get a fucking checking account? Or would you ever just step back? I don't infantilize them, so that's fine. I don't look at them as subhuman, so I owe them an apology. Gavin looks at them as subhuman and helpless, so thus I owe them an apology.
But I have a more pressing question. I would not have thought to have asked that question. I would have said, how do you feel about your ex-wife dating Don Jr.?
Oh, that's where they're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kimberly. Yeah.
Guilfoyle.
Guilfoyle. Yeah. Yeah. Better. Come yeah. on, Kalen, you dropped the ball.
Kalen, that is quite a... You might have gotten a... You might have sold that to TMZ if you had popped that question.
If I had known that that was true before I went there, then maybe
right.
I would.
Right. I mean, Kimberly is now bing, bang, bonging with... And mind you, I've known Kimberly since she just left the lingerie model and entered the L.A. County DA's office and was a young prosecutor before she went on the air. And so now she has dated, well, married, who knows, she may marry Don Jr., but she's got a pretty good pedigree there. She's gone from Gavin. I mean, she's obviously an equal opportunity dater.
Yeah, that's right? That's a lot of political range.
Right? That's some range.
She's getting those ankles pretty far apart. I don't mean that physically. I'm
Kimberly,
saying
I apologize because I love
you. As a metaphor of range.
I apologize, Kim, because
Thank
I
you.
Do love you.
Speaking of your undergarments, yes. Tommy John.
Yes.
Give Dad that gift of Evolved underwear. Limited time. They got the Father's Day gift sets from Tommy John. I'm wearing mine right now. Everyone wears theirs around here. It's weird, you know. The underwear, fantastic. The undershirts, in a weird way, even more innovative because they stay
yeah.
tucked in. They're literally an undershirt.
I'm telling you, I think they're missing something. Because I'm sold on the underwear, but these undershirts are revolutionary.
Don't sleep on them. Don't sleep on the socks either. Proprietary, forward-thinking fabrics are so soft and light. Dad will swear he's going commando, plus socks that stay up, the shirts that stay tucked in, the second skin tees. It's all there. They never shrink. All backed by the best pair he'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Give Dad Evolved underwear from Tommy John this year. No adjustment needed, Gary.
That's right. Shop limited edition Father's Day gift sets at TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. I'm going to be
at
the Aladdin Theater, second show added in Portland. That'll be
You're
next
huge
Saturday.
In Portland. What do you attribute that to?
I don't.
I mean, you're huge everywhere you go, but Portland, I've noticed in 3 years sitting here at the table with you, you always do very well in Portland.
I don't know. I have this weird thing. As I said many years ago when my program director was yelling at me, I said, look, we're number one in Seattle or Portland, whatever, Seattle at the time, and Portland too, so that area.
Right.
And we're number one in Vegas. And he kept yelling at me. And I said, you want to know the smartest city and the dumbest city? I said, Seattle, smartest, Vegas, dumbest. Now I'm number one in both.
Right.
So that's got to be ranked.
You're
right?
The Kimberly Guilfoyle of podcasting and radio.
It's been said many times, but it bears repeating by
like
the great
it.
Mark I love Portland. So I'll see you guys. We're filming a live stand-up show. So we're doing my first stand-up special. So come on out and we'll say hi and you'll get on film. Live shows everywhere. Uppity. Now, I got to get you a copy of that. The latest copy of Uppity. You can pre-order it now at Chassis, Chassy.
I have somebody I want to give that to. I gave it to them. They liked it. And I want to give them the more refined copy, but that's up to August to get it to me.
I will get you that. Also, I should tell you Dennis Miller option. That is on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Do you know in a way that we owe Dennis for Reasonable Doubt in a weird kind of way? I'll let you ponder that, see if anybody can figure it out.
He and I were doing a podcast and then stopped doing a podcast.
And then segued right into Reasonable Doubt.
Thank you, Dennis Miller. And Mark Garagus, of course, Mistrial, voiced by our own Mike Dawson. Go to audible.com and all the places to eat and luxuriate, right?
Exactly. This weekend, you've got Capri in Southampton. You've got the V Palm Springs. You've got Casa Tropicana in San Clemente. 10E Prova Pizza Bar, Oraya in Southampton. And Engine Company 28 downtown and at LAX.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode.
This is Corolla Digital.